This is the 12:30 TWC Business Beat Radio with Jackie Groundsell on Love to Beat Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. And how is everyone today? Well, I hope.
Welcome back into the studio. And I am delighted to let you know that our guest, Susan Hilton-Rolf, is on the other line. Susan, can you hear us okay?
I can. Thank you very much for having me on this show.
Entirely our pleasure. I can assure you, in between me messing up the timings and indeed. Thank you so much for being here. And we were just catching up, listeners, we were just catching up a little bit while the ads were on. And talking about what it was doing is we've actually had an opportunity to speak to each other. And one of the things, we'll find out in a minute. Something I want to talk to you about in a moment. So, introduce yourself, please.
Hello, I'm Susan Heaton-Wright. I'm a speaker, facilitator, and coach on all areas around communication and impact and influencing others when we're having business conversations. And I'm the founder and the creator of the Superstar Communicator methodology.
Oh, well, that sounds interesting. So, what? It's something up entirely for what I know of you, but what is the Superstar Communicator? How did that come about?
The real reason why I did this, the whole why, is because I know that there are people like me, or like I was, age 17, who are underestimated because, for whatever reason, they don't present the best version of themselves and they are underestimated. And it's the time for me to share a story from when I was 17, because this is the whole basis of why I do what I do. Age 17, you know, for many people, they're thinking about what they're going to do after school, whether they're going to do an apprenticeship or go to work or university. And I wanted to go to university. I was at a very academic, a selective girls' school, and the teachers didn't want me to apply to university. They didn't feel I was bright enough. What actually happened was that I stole a UCAS form.
Naughty girl.
Filled it in myself and banged on the door of the headmistress. I mean, she was a pretty formidable woman. And I knew when I asked her, she had a glint in her eye, that she would support me. And I ended up getting offers from top universities, not Oxford and Cambridge, but top universities, and ended up at Durham University. Now, the two things that I feel from that, one is that for whatever reason, the cheap teachers were not identifying talent in the right way. And I would say that there were some girls who were, you know, very lippy, or their parents were very pushy. They didn't do as well as me. So there was something there. But also from a personal point of view, I now recognize that I didn't present a confident version of myself and my abilities and potential, and there was a question mark next to that. So with regards Superstar Communicator, I often work with people who are working really hard at their jobs. They're in corporate organization and they're putting the work in, but they're not being identified as talent for potential and to move up the ladder. And quite often it can be something as tiny as finding a way to confidently share your ideas, your opinions in meetings, or stepping up a little bit to share with people what you're already achieving. And sometimes these things can be quite a challenge culturally, or even Well, certainly with myself, I was always taught not to show off, not to let people know what I did, not to ask. And that's certainly something that held me back, with the result of me being underestimated.
But that's an amazing story, Susan. I mean, to and you've been swatted down and told that, you know, no, you're not good enough. But recognising that your head teacher would actually support you on this. What are your parents in this mix? What, how do they feel about all this? Do they know what you're going to do?
Not at all. They would have been horrified if they found out that I had done that. But I did discover later on that my teachers underestimated the actual grades I got at A-level by 2 grades for each subject. I mean, that is pretty significant. And, you know, on paper, I was getting those grades, but for whatever reason, there was that question mark, oh, that must have been a fluke. She won't do it on the day.
It's a personality thing. I mean, how many teachers were involved in this?
It was the 3 teachers that I was doing A-level with. I mean, I have the disadvantage that I moved to that school in the sixth form. And as I say, it was it's one of the top girls' schools in the country. And I think that at the time there was this culture, these girls have come in from another school. We've let them in on duress. So I believe that there was a certain amount of that around there.
Perhaps making extra work for them, would it have been?
No, that we already have our girls at the school. These are sort of orphans or people that we've let in reluctantly.
Not our girls, as it were.
Yes, not our girls. Therefore, yes. I think definitely there was an element of that going on. My cousin went there from the United States for a year, and she did experience the same thing, thinking back on it. She wasn't like me. She was a straight A student, but she struggled with that. They labelled her as not being as good as our girls.
But my goodness, what a story to have. And actually managed to build on that information. So I'm going to throw you in now, and I told you I was going to. One of the things I didn't know about you was opera singing. Susan, how was this on this?
Okay, so when you tell people that you have been an opera singer, it does trigger a response. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Mm. Whether it is, oh my goodness, I hate opera, or that's for posh people, or that it's fat lady that sing, or it's boring, all of those things. From my point of view, you probably realised that I was quite a quiet kid. Child, and I was always told to take into the background and not show off and not ask. When I was 3 or 4 years old, I had to do a solo in the Nativity play in one of those huge Victorian churches, and I sang How Far Is It to Bethlehem on my own in tune, apparently. But everybody was coming up afterwards, isn't she wonderful, all that. My parents said, stop showing off, Susan. Mm. And so I got that message that I mustn't do that, that I must take a background, a backseat role in all of those things. Mm. And so I didn't do singing as a soloist, but I was involved in a very serious car accident in my early 20s, which took a long time to recover from. I had life-changing injuries. But one of my university friends invited me to go along to one of the big London choirs. There were big London choirs in the late 80s, and you had to audition. So I was on sticks. and went along and sang, thinking, well, I've got a low voice and everything. And the conductor, who now is an international conductor, stopped me and said, Susan, you're a soprano and you have a really special voice. I really believe you should get it trained. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, I was still recovering, so started having lessons. And then eventually it was suggested to me that I try to go to music college, which I did, and I got a scholarship to go there as a slightly older student. They would normally go as 18-year-olds. And so I had funding to help me with that, which only when my headmistress, you know, the one that did my application, it was only when she died, I realized that she had been somebody who contributed to my scholarship. But I realized when I got there that having a lovely voice is just one thing, particularly when you're doing opera singing or concert work as well. You've got to have a really strong presence, and because otherwise somebody else will take that space up. And I feel that certainly for the people that I work with, giving them permission not to be aggressive, pushing other people out of the way, but to own your space and have presence is really, really important.
Yes, well, I mean, it just occurred to me, actually, with you just talking there, Susan, that a couple of weeks ago, I did have another opera singer in here.
Did you?
Yes. Hannah Gray, who is a local businesswoman, and actually she's a Conservative Party for our local MP, but she's been there. She apparently, as a youngster, they told her, and she recognised she couldn't sing in tune. And then on one occasion, I hope to goodness I'm getting this right, that she was involved in being just sort of backstage person in a show. And the person who was going to sing was actually sick. And they said, well, who's going to do this? And Hannah said, well, I know all the words. And from this, she found a voice. And then
that's amazing.
Yeah. And went to music college and everything. So, so I don't know, maybe we're building something here on the radio.
Aren't we? And just showing that classical music has a place in the world.
Yeah, very much so. So, obviously, you and I are chatting away quite happily now, but in the work that you do, how do you help other people to communicate effectively, and what do you feel it takes to be an effective communicator?
You know what? We're talking now, and people often think, I can't have that conversation, or I can't do public speaking. As soon as you're speaking to somebody else, you are doing public speaking.
Yes.
I think, and yet we have all of these fears around things that we do, whether it's public speaking, whether it's presenting that we will make a fool of ourselves or people will laugh at us. We have all of those limiting beliefs around that. And I certainly address that. It's really important that isn't an elephant in the room, that we're honest about those things. And sometimes it can be something really bizarre, like somebody laughed at you when you were 13 years old and you were reading Great Expectations in class, and you've held on to that. But or it might be a cultural thing that, like me, you were told not to speak up or not ask, or you know, the boss is the boss, you shouldn't share an audit, all of those things. But I created a methodology of the five key areas that I believe are essential for good communication. And they can, in fact, relate to written communication as well. And they address all of these things. So for the first one is audience. So understanding who your audience is. Something that most people don't think about is what's in it for them. Why should they bother to listen? so often we don't think. We think, oh, I'm broadcasting, but they've got to be engaged in it. Then there's content, and there are ways that you can structure what you say. There's a lot of noise around storytelling, and I agree that from a neuroscientific point of view, it's a very powerful way of being engaging, but also to make your message sticky. But you've also got to have a really good call to action, not go off topic. Have a really good hook at the beginning. So that's the second part that I work with. Then the third part is preparation, and that can include mindset and pushing through those barriers, and being aware of what you are speaking, so you're familiar, so you can be confident. Then there is the performance side, so that's the body language, the non-verbal communication, your facial expressions, your gestures, and then there's finally the voice. Now, of course, I'm an ex-opera singer. People often think I'm a vocal coach, which I'm not. I understand the voice, absolutely. But I would always say that it's always within the context of performance. So I don't know if you're aware that your voice alters, everybody's does, in certain situations. So it might be that we're going to have, to go like really high when we, or like, you know, when I was asking the headmistress for help, I'm sure my voice went up.
Right.
And we do subconsciously. Mm. And being aware of that, what I call an emotional leakage, something that gives a clue to the other person that you might be nervous or you might not be wanting to have that conversation, for example, is not going to do you any favours. But being aware of that so that you can come across in a confident way will help you. But also, I believe, and I'm sure you agree with me, Jackie, that we should speak so it's as easy as possible for other people to understand us. So if we're mumbling, if we're speaking too fast, if it's monotonal, you're going to switch off, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. Everything you're saying is absolutely amazing, and it is bang on.
Thank you.
Well,
that's why
that's good.
So successful and an award winner.
To say that to you, it's almost offensive when you're such a high flyer with all this.
But that's so kind of you. Thank you.
But it brought to mind yesterday a conversation I had yesterday with one of my granddaughters, who is now 2.5 years into being qualified as a midwife.
Oh, wow.
But she has a lot of health challenges that she has to deal with, and not only has she achieved that success, but she's achieved it whilst managing all these different health issues. And I said to her yesterday, I'd love you to come on the radio. And she immediately said, oh, no, I've got to do that. Her dad said, what I said was now, but look, you've achieved this with all these different health challenges that you've got. And she warmed to that, because she then said, well, actually, I've been talking to people on social media and they've appreciated what I've said. And so, fingers crossed, as long as I don't push her, she tells me, fingers crossed, she'll be on the radio in a few coming weeks. But it's you talk about the topics and everything. She was very, this was perhaps a bit strong, but she was fearful of actually coming on the radio until she actually warmed to why people might actually be interested in listening to her.
Yeah.
What you're saying as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. We can be stopped by our own little voice going off in our ears saying, no one's going to be interested in that. What have I got to offer? And yet your granddaughter has got huge things to offer. I mean, absolute congratulations for her doing so well despite all of these challenges.
Mm. Yeah, no, she's been amazing. We're obviously all very proud of her. So I know you said that you've got a program or planner, is it? You've got a planner as well?
Yeah, I created a planner for just a bit of fun. Where are they? I've got one here. A little bit of fun that's for over 30 days. I set a little task. So it's at day 10, it says speak up. So it might be that you need to speak up in a meeting to perhaps challenge an opinion in the respectful way. And then today's challenge is to share your opinion or idea in a meeting or conversation. And then I ask, how do you feel? How did that make you feel? And what was the positive outcome from that? So it might be that as a result of you speaking up and sharing an opinion, other people agreed with you, that you were able to have a really good, honest discussion about a particular challenge or problem. And as a result of that, the outcome was that you felt confident about your contribution to the meeting.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little tiny notebook that can go in your handbag, and 30 things that I selected just as a little challenge over a month. And then at the end of the month, I encourage everybody to, you know, go back to those things and think about the ones that you found more difficult, to see if you could try those again and to implement the other ones within your communication on a daily basis.
So before I actually ask you how people can access this, I think it's important that our listeners know how they can get hold of you in the first place. So how would they do that?
Well, my website is superstarcommunicator.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I know a lot of people are on LinkedIn. There's only one Susan Heaton Wright. It's my old stage name. I still use it as my professional name. So please, if you've heard me, please connect with me. I'd love to find out what you thought about what I was talking about, if it resonates, and let's have a conversation.
Brilliant. And I think also it's quite important that people know how to spell your name. Because yes, they could go to our
website
and find it, but would you mind spelling that out for us?
Yes, of course. So Susan, then Heaton, which is H-E-A-T-O-N, new word, Wright, which is W-R-I-G-H-T.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. Thank you for that. And back to the story then. So is this something that people can access from your website, or shall I have a link on our website? How would you like it to work?
Oh, I mean, you can go on to Amazon. Should I say Amazon? Yes, do put a link on your website as well. Right at the top of my website, there is a little mini banner on the top where you can, where there's a link to purchase it. It's only a small fee. Mm-hmm. It's also on, because it was published by them.
Sorry, I didn't get that last word. It's also on where?
Amazon.
Yes, now I've got that. So,
we're not supposed to be promoting
it. I can say it very quietly. We're going to take it out. It sounded... provided me with a link for that. So is it okay if we have a resources page? Would it be all right to put it there, or would
I'd be absolutely delighted. And also, you know, if anybody decides to get it, please give me feedback. Because you know, I want to make it of real value. It's a little planner just to challenge you with some of the challenges of communication, particularly in business.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say to you, what do you feel is the biggest challenge that people could ever face? But I suppose it depends very much on the circumstances and the individual, does it? Or
I think it does. I mean, I always feel that it's worthwhile knowing who you're talking to.
Yeah.
You know, people, so often they're thinking about what they're going to say. But if that's not appropriate to that particular person or audience, then, you know, and I believe that it's all about having a two-way conversation, whether, you know, if you're doing a presentation, for example, that at the end there is an opportunity for people to ask you questions, excuse me, and you shouldn't be frightened by that. I feel that somebody asking a question is actually them showing that they're interested and they want to know more.
I think there's going to be quite a bit of feedback from our listeners. Plus the fact, of course, as I mentioned before, this show is being recorded and will be in podcast on the 1230 website, amazingly under the word podcast. Not this Friday, but the following Friday. For people to actually access, and if you want to get hold of Susan, she's just given you the contact details, but if you fail to do that, or you fail in some shape or form to get hold of her, which I can't imagine, I'll put you in touch with her as well.
Oh, that would be lovely.
No, it's so super to be able to catch up with you, Susan, and
with you.
What's next on your hit list?
Obviously this is going out after International Women's Day, but I do have a couple of events that I'm speaking at. So on Wednesday I'm in central London and I'm giving a talk. It's a hybrid one, that's going to be streamed all over the world within this organisation and recorded, because in the Far East it will be nighttime for them. So they'll be able to access it beforehand. So that's something I'm really excited about. So that's the first one of a couple of events. In fact, sadly, I was going to be at a university, unnamed university, and they pulled the whole event because apparently there was an international day on International Women's Day. One, but there you go.
Interesting view, isn't it?
Yeah. I felt sorry for the girls that had put all of the work in from the university, the students. So I've kept in contact with them and said, you know, let's do it next year.
Yeah. I mean, you almost feel tempted to say, well, let's have a coffee and we can converse. I mean, it's a strange thing to recognise that. I mean, every year International Women's Day is on the
I know.
It's no surprise to us. We've got our International Women's Day celebration on the 19th of March, which is on the website, because there's so much interest around what women and business women, but you know, that big umbrella of women, is actually achieving now. But it's and I believe has done so for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think in other countries, on the 8th, it's a really important day. There are proper celebrations, that there are marches and things like that, things that we don't have in this country. And also, the entire month is devoted to celebrating women. You don't have that over here, which I think is a shame. And there are so many other days that are celebrating other underrepresented groups, quite rightly. And it's good to have that day for us. I'm actually doing a live stream with my co-podcast host on Thursday, discussing, is International Women's Day relevant to young people? You know, to be a little bit provocative. And he's 24, so a different age bracket to me, and it would be interesting to see his perspective.
Well, just said, I mean, not only is he a different age group, but also he's a different gender. View of it in that way is interesting as well. So I think Ali Meehan, who's one of our... Do you know Ali, Susan?
No.
Ali Meehan does Costa Women, which is a very big network over in Spain. She and I, for 9 years, did a celebration of International Women's Day, actually over in Spain. And she's going to be at our... International Women's Day celebration is actually on the 8th, so they're doing something over there in Spain. And I think, you know, it's important to highlight the fact that whilst this is a locally based radio show, because it's internet, it's also got international reach. So who knows who's going to be all over the world who's actually going to be able to hear it. So if nothing else, you could also listen in or find out if you're in Spain, look up Costa Women with Ali Meehan. See if there's any spaces left. I think she was getting a bit tight on space, actually. But,
wow, brilliant that she's done so well.
And that started as a result of her marrying a chap, an English chap who lived in Spain. She'd travelled quite widely herself before that. They got married, but she didn't know anybody, you know, and so it was originally started out as a social thing. It's still slightly social, but there's also business elements in it as well, and it's grown hugely, grown really well. And that's Costa Women, that's COSTA Women. So have a look at that on the website and see. So, but you're really busy in doing your speaking things, aren't you then?
Yeah, so I do a combination of speaking, masterclasses, facilitating workshops, and individual coaching. But I have to say that the masterclasses and some of the workshops that I do, I've actually reached attendees from over 130 countries worldwide. I mean, isn't that extraordinary?
That is amazing. That is amazing because, right now that's just brought to mind somebody who I was talking to who was over in Spain, wanted to talk to someone, talk people English, wanted to communicate with somebody over here who also was in the language world, if you like, but she felt it was important because everywhere, and England and the UK is so different, has different accents and different dialects. She wanted to introduce her students to some of those different dialects.
I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah. But I mean, how does that work with your people? How do they, I mean, they obviously speak English, or is some of it translated as it's going out? How does that work?
I mean, I think that's a really, really good point. There have been occasions, I mean, always I would check with the people that have booked me as to the competency of the English language. There have been occasions when it has been the second or even third language, and I need to be aware of that. So I put in place some things such as when I'm rehearsing, I will record almost a transcription so that somebody can translate that beforehand or have key words that they can let people know. Even if it's not exactly the same, it's going to have the essence, it's going to have the flavour of what I'm speaking. But also, there are translation things that you can do in time, and I'm quite happy for people to have those things in place. If it means that it's more accessible for those people, that's really important. I always ask the questions, because there are some cultures where people would be too shy or feel that it would be wrong to ask that.
Yes.
So I start the conversations there about that.
Do you speak other languages, Susan?
I speak French and Italian. My French is better than my Italian, although I studied out in Italy. It's got a bit rusty.
I think you say it's one of the...
I definitely wouldn't be able to do it. I'd be able to read a presentation, but I wouldn't be able to have those questions because my languages aren't good enough.
Yeah.
So you're, when you do these, are they for, like, webinars? Is it a live, it's a live thing, I'm assuming, that you do?
Yes, absolutely. And I never, you know, maybe I'm being a bit picky here, but I never call them webinars because they're very interactive. I always have polls or quizzes to try and keep people involved and actively encourage people to put things in the chat, because, in fact, other people's contribution can be invaluable.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because the word webinar to me means you just sit and listen.
Yeah.
Whereas clearly yours is much more, your audience is proactive, you're very active in what you deliver. So, I mean, it's, amazing. How many countries did you say?
Over 130. I mean, my first degree was in geography, so that's something that would be of interest to me, and I wrote them down as things have gone on.
Yeah.
And how do they actually find out about you? How is something like that marketed?
Well, that would be marketed through the company. So, for example, the one that I'm actually going into London for, they are marketing that within their organisation as a specific event.
Mm. Cool. Yeah, I'm just keeping an eye on the time, and I don't want to lose you, obviously. And just to remind listeners that this show is being recorded, so anything that Susan has said, one, you can catch up with her personally to reiterate any of that, but also you will find this show will be available to you, not this Friday, next Friday, on the 1230 website, which is www.1230.co.uk, and on the tab that says podcast, you will be able to find Susan's conversation and her hot tips. So I think she's given out more than 5 hot tips for today. So thank you so much, Susan. I'd like to be able to catch up with you at some point and welcome you back on the radio if you'd like to do that.
Oh, I'd be absolutely delighted. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. It's been so good to pick at you with your opera and things. I said to Susan, I should have actually asked you for a recording and we could play that. So see what happens there. So, Susan, I'm going to say cheerio to you now. Thank you so much for being part of this show and contributing to it. And I really have enjoyed it, and I'm sure our listeners have too. So, what are you up to this afternoon? Anything exciting?
No, I'm in the office today. I've got various things that I've got to do. There are a couple of proposals that I'm writing at the moment, so I've got to get back to those.
Well, possibly not the most exciting, but the most productive. So
definitely.
I'm going to say cheerio to you now, and we'll carry on with the show. So thank you, Susan, again, and I'll speak to you again soon. Bye for now. Okay, so we're back in the studio now, and I'm just keeping a watch. Hopefully I can sound so correctly this time. We've got adverts, as you know, but I want to make sure that you know who my guests are next week. So next week we've got Helen Mantle, who is the social media whiz, Rupa Chandra, who is going to be sharing all her expertise, and Denise Smith, who is a creator. They will all be here in the studio with me and sharing their expertise and specialism. And also, some of you may not know, but one of the things I ask my guests when they come on the show is for a piece of music, and that music can be something that they kick around to in the kitchen because it makes them laugh or it's fun. Or it could be something a bit more meaningful and Susan's piece of music that she chose, we played right at the beginning, and that was simply the best. And I think she's highlighted the importance of communication and what part she actually played in that for people, and what a high-profile speaker she actually is. So thank you so much, Susan, for being part of the show today.
This is the 1230 TWC Business Beat Radio with Jackie Groundsell on Love to Beat Radio.
Just a reminder, this is 1230 Women's Company. I'm Jackie Groundsell. I'm here every week, Mondays 2 to 4, followed up by Ozzy Osbourne. So don't forget, stay tuned in and listen to his indie rock. You've got birthdays coming up, or you've got events coming up, do please let me know and I will give you a shout out on the show. Birthdays, events, you name it, I can do it for you. But what actually is interesting, when Edwin Christie, who's the owner of this radio station, always spoke about the possibilities of my being a presenter for him, he said he didn't mind as long as it was clean. So just bear that in mind. We don't mind what it is as long as it's clean. So do have a look at the 19th of March. Do check out our calendar. The radio shows are up there as well as our events. Now what you will find at the moment is that they only go up to March, the end of March, and the reason for that is because the software that we use is going through an update and we need to update that as well as ourselves in understanding it. So don't worry, the fact that it's actually not any further than the end of March. Just have a look at the regularity of the groups. So for example, Bromley is the third Wednesday of every month, and that is at the Bromley Ultra Hall. It's absolutely amazing what they're going to be doing there. So do please join us there. We've got the our TV, so we've got our radio show. We also, what I call our TV, that's Zoom. On the second Wednesday of every month, and the other ones just escape me in terms of the regularity, but it's the same regularity every month, so you can put that in your calendar as a recurring event and be able to set that aside. So yeah, I'm going to say cheerio now. As I say, I will be here next week. Get yourself in for the 19th of March. It's at 80 Basing Hall Street, and the nearest, well, you've got Charing Cross Station, Hannah Street Station and London Bridge Station, the nearest main rail station. And then the nearest tube is the Bank. And through bitter experience, I now know that the nearest exit to our venue is exit number 9. And it is unbelievably easy. You come out, you go from the station, up the stairs, out of exit 9, out onto the pavement, look over the road, cross the road and walk down, and you're there at the venue within 3, maybe 4 minutes, just depends what traffic's like. And so we will look forward to seeing you there. And I mentioned before, although it's not an expensive event, we don't feel, if you'd like to come and the cost is a bit prohibitive to you, give me a shout and we'll see what we can do for you. There are a couple of small stands left, and there are roller band spaces as well. So if you'd like to come, do have a look and get yourself booked in. And don't forget, let me know what your events and what your birthdays are so that we can celebrate with you here on the radio station, which is Love the Beat Radio Station based here in town. And I'm Jackie Galsleton.
This is the 1230 TWC Business Beat Radio with Jackie Groundsell on Love to Beat Radio.